Alright, hello everyone, welcome back. I am Rillian, your host of the Narnia Web Council, our official Narnia Web podcast. It is a very special day today. It is 1 year away from, we are 1 year away from the release of Voyage of the Dawn Treader. And so this is kind of a special edition podcast. We're not really going to be talking about a lot of the regular news and all of that. We actually have a little bit of a different plan today. But before we do that, let's first go to our guests. Again, we have Glumpuddle. Glumpuddle, welcome back.
What's up, Narnia Webbers?
And this is really cool. We have a very special person on the podcast today, our very own Fantasia Kitty. Fantasia Kitty, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much.
It's like a new level of internet technology for you. Or maybe
yes,
not.
It is.
It is, okay.
No, it is.
Well, this is cool because I mean we still have never had Tyrion on. In fact, he could conceivably not even exist, I suppose.
Be a computer.
Yeah, like some, you know, or just an alter ego of Fantasia Kitty. Anyway,
this is big though, Rillian. The podcast has finally spread to the admin level. This is a,
finally
this is a,
yes. After
new level,
we've been
podcast.
On for a few years now.
We'll get to Tyrion before the series is over.
Indeed. Well, today we're going to talk really, first of all, two things. First, we're going to kind of, we three are going to give our assessment, kind of overall assessment of where, what our expectations are of Voyage of the Dawn Treader, what we are looking at, how we feel about it, as it were. And then we're going to also, then we're going to talk about basically how we feel it's going to do at the box office. What are our expectations are of the film, and then what are our expectations for the box office? And does that sound good to both of you?
Sounds good to me.
Yep, sounds pretty well thought out.
And this actually will have a companion article. So there's the podcast part of it, but then there's also going to be a news post that you guys can go to. And you can read the comments of other moderators. So, first of all, expectations. I mean, Fantasia Kitty, why don't you just start us off here, since this is ladies first, and this is your first time on the podcast. What do you think of what's? Have at it.
Okay. Well, I'm one of the rare people who actually liked Prince Caspian better than The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, though I can completely understand that the adaptation of it was probably not as good as it could have been, but as a movie standpoint, I very, very much enjoyed it. As far as my expectations for The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, it went through a whole lot of birthing pains to make it as far as it is now, with the writer's strike and the billions of script rewrites and all sorts of things. So I think that hopefully by this point they've got it pretty well under control, although I don't think that we'll ever see a movie that is as accurate an adaptation as The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe was. I think it'll be a little bit more plot differences from the book, but I think the themes will remain intact. So that's sort of what I'm expecting. And I actually expect from a technical level to very thoroughly enjoy it. So
yeah, I think for me, I think there's multiple aspects of you know, film going on. There's the casting, there's the overall directorship, there's the the sets, and there's the makeup and the props and the script, obviously. I think one time we had a poll. It's kind of interesting looking at the first two films. In many ways, I also enjoyed Prince Caspian better than The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, but I think looking back, we had a poll, I think, for The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, where we said, what part of the movie are you most concerned about? Acting, the cast, the plot, the scenery, the special effects, and everyone said the plot or the script was their biggest concern. And I think I kind of share some of your feelings. I think I'm maybe going to like the acting. I really love the acting in these movies, even from the secondary characters like Miraz, and Trumpkin. It's not just the primary characters that have good acting. It's the secondary characters that sometimes have better acting, I think. So I think on many technical levels with the special effects, I think I'm going to be very happy. I have come to love the Dawn Treader itself. As far as the script, there's just some things, you know, some changes I might have to become more used to. I think what I'm expecting, though, is at this point I've learned there are some certain themes that they might get close to, but perhaps just not get. Which happened with the first film, with as far as why was Spring coming along. It was more focused on Aslan in the book, whereas in the movie it was focused more on the children. Little things like that. But then this is a different director, and it's not the same script writers. So even though maybe I don't have proper grounds for that kind of expectation, that's just a feeling I've come to expect from the first two films. That, that there'll be a lot of things they really get great, and then there might be some important themes I think they maybe just missed. But then I think Prince Caspian in some ways was closer to the themes of the book. So I think the biggest concern I have is the script, and I'm just kind of waiting to hear more at this point. I don't really know enough from what I've heard of different places to really make a judgment, but that's the part I'm kind of skeptical towards. So overall, optimistic and looking forward to it, but for me, the script is one of the biggest, most essential portions of the film. Yeah. So that's kind of where I am at this point.
Then I guess I'm number three, okay?
Well, actually, we thought we'd save 10 minutes for the soundless speaker that we have on, who hasn't actually spoken yet. But
yeah, he never gets to speak on here, so.
Yeah. Oh well, just speak at the same time as he does, and it won't matter. Sorry, lame jokes tonight. Sorry.
All right. So who at next here?
What?
I think so.
Yeah, you're next. That was a joke.
I'm up next.
That was a joke. I'm just messing with you.
Okay.
Just go ahead.
Pause for a commercial break there. Okay. Anyway. Okay. So how I'm feeling about Dawn Treader. Okay. What I see with Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and yeah, I'm another one. Apparently, we have three pretty rare people on here who overall liked Prince Caspian better than Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. I thought the thing I see in common with Prince Caspian and Wardrobe as far as sort of the overriding philosophy behind how it's adapted is that it seems like they're taking books that are very special and still stand out for a lot of people. And C.S. Lewis has a really unique, fun kind of writing style. They're taking really special books and trying to turn them into fairly conventional movies, sort of storytelling 101. And don't get me wrong, I think that both Wardrobe and Caspian they're good films and they're pretty good adaptations, but I think it's that overriding philosophy that prevents them from becoming great films, that we have to take really special stories and say, well, now how can we make it into something that's a lot more commercially viable and something that, you know, is almost formulaic in a sense. And that's kind of what I'm expecting of Dawn Treader. Based on what we've been hearing about this whole unfathomable fate thing, you know, whatever that is, and this whole constant repetition of, oh, they've got to take Dawn Treader and it's very episodic and they've got to try to put a through line story in there. To me, that just says, okay, that, again, they're trying to make it into more of a conventional movie, that the book is very episodic. And most commercially successful films, like big blockbuster films at least, have like a through-line story. That's right. Therefore, we have to give it one. And, I mean, with Prince Caspian, I felt that, you know, like with the flashback, for example, all the flashbacks, the way they use in the book, was something that just inherently seemed like it was not a good idea for film, just as an art form, not commercially speaking, but just for the art of film. It wouldn't lend itself well to that. But then for Dawn Treader, its episodic story, that certainly can work in a film. It can work in an ideal film, perhaps not an ideal commercially, an ideal blockbuster, and that most of them aren't done that way. And, so I'm expecting Dawn Treader more or less what we've got out of the first two films is a good but not great film and a good but not great adaptation.
Yeah, I think you're hitting on something there when, and this is something I think one of the best, actually the perfect example of trying to make a blockbuster, in some ways was the movie Australia. I don't know if you've seen the movie, but it's almost laughable at points because it almost seems like a parody of epic movies because the music is so dramatic and the cinematography is so glorious and the way the characters act is so intense. I think there's a problem when you try to create a film to be a blockbuster, which is kind of what you're saying might be happening here. And I was trying to think of stories I know that were not that are very episodic, and the first that came to mind was actually "Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?" which is a movie, kind of a spoof on the Odyssey, Homer's Odyssey, and that's a very episodic movie. But you know that wasn't a huge blockbuster, and maybe they're saying, "Well, we want a big blockbuster, we want to make a lot of."
Yeah.
So that might be the part of the problem.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it basically comes down to there's almost two basic approaches to making a big movie. It's like, how can we make this stand out by, you know, sticking to what we already know works, sticking to the conventions and the formulas,
mm-hmm.
or how can we make a successful movie by doing something totally different that no one's ever seen? And I don't just mean different in terms of how big the battle is. I mean trying things with a story that hasn't been done before. And I don't see a lot of I haven't seen a lot of audacity, I guess you could say, with the first two films in terms of story.
Yeah.
Risk-taking.
Yeah.
Not a lot. There hasn't been a lot of risk-taking. They've been following a very standard fantasy movie formula.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of a safe way to go, you know?
Yeah, it is safe. And on one level, I'd almost expect them to be able to be willing to take a few more risks just because the books are so successful. You would hope that would give them a greater confidence. But
I mean, ultimately, it's just like, this is a great book for a reason. How can we embrace what makes the book a classic and try to translate that to screen?
Yeah, but then in some ways, we're seeing sort of the same thing with Harry Potter. You don't see a lot of experimentation in the Harry Potter films either.
With that one, there's something different, though. It's where the books are – in that case, the books are so current and they're so well-known that they're scared to deviate from that at all. In that case, that's a case where they're being very literally faithful to the book, and that's not – I think a bigger risk would be let's try to actually adapt Harry Potter into a movie. That would be a risk. Dare I say it. Yeah, and sort of negative things. Oh, they're very conventional and, you know, they're not big risk takers. But I think the first two films, there certainly is not like a huge complete disregard for the book. Absolutely not. They are obviously trying to be as faithful to the book as they can. They're trying to be mindful of the important themes and stay true to the characters and the basic story. And so I think that as Narnia fans, we should be very grateful. Hollywood can do so much worse to classic literature, as we've seen. And here we're seeing that maybe they're not, you know, super groundbreaking films or anything, but they're pretty good films. And I think they're obviously being made by people who want to stay as close as they can to the book. So let's at least be thankful for that.
Yeah. I think, as we've said it before, The Lord of the Rings has spoiled us.
Yeah. Exactly. How about you, Fantasia Kitty?
Any thoughts?
I agree completely. I think that there are definitely – I don't know about all of them – but there are definitely some people, well, like Douglas Grisham, and I know that the Michael Flaherty, the head of Walden Media, both of those are just huge, huge, huge fans of the books and want to do everything to get it as close to the book as possible. So, yeah, I'm definitely thankful that they're on the film roster.
Yeah. And with a few exceptions, I think that, you know, Prince Caspian and Warja were about as close to the book as they – in terms of story, like as possible. I think that a lot of the changes in Prince Caspian were necessary. And now we're you know, hearing actually that Douglas Gresham interview that just came out today, which we won't talk a lot about. But, you know, he mentions kind of what we already know, that, yeah, they're going to make some plot changes and the story is going to be kind of different. But, you know, again, we're still seeing – I think that like Prince – like Gresham says, wardrobe lent itself to film pretty well. Prince Caspian didn't, and but it's all about trying to be as close to the book as we can. And there's right. again, it's not like a complete disregard for the books. They're just trying to translate the films, as best as they can.
And honestly, I think that's. I mean, some of them do lend themselves to film better than others. Some could lend themselves to film as well as others. It's just more of a difficult task. Like, I think, like, three examples here. If we're going to compare, like, The Horse and His Boy, I think this is actually one where I think I've said before, I would love to see Andrew Adamson come back to do The Horse and His Boy. I think he could do a fantastic job with that. It's a very linear story. It's very, I mean, it's somewhat episodic, but I think it would work really well. Magician's Nephew, more difficult. You need someone with thinking outside the box as far as how to adapt certain portions. And then the one that I just wonder how they would adapt it would be The Last Battle, because there's so many things towards the end that just even some things I wonder as far as just the depressing mood throughout portions of the story, I wonder how much would an audience take. Would they decide, no, we're not going to make it quite as depressing, you know? So I think some of them definitely lend themselves better to film than other books.
Yeah, I think Fantasia K, you're totally right when you said felt like Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe was, I can't remember, we can probably expect it to be the most accurate, accurate in terms of story and literal events of the series, because in my opinion, I mean, well, I guess we were talking Horse and His Boy, but Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe is one of those things where it lent itself very well to film. It was also the most well-known. And a lot of the films coming up, Dawn Treader included, have potential adaptation challenges that Wardrobe didn't. And so I'm expecting to be, in terms of story, actual literal events, I'm expecting Dawn Treader to be not as accurate to the book as Wardrobe, and closer to the book than Prince Caspian, and I'm okay with that. I think that Wardrobe was a more inherently cinematic book than Dawn Treader. Would you agree, Rachel?
Yes, I do. I agree.
He said her real name. That equals a swear word on the podcast.
It happens.
Well, good. So, got to end on a positive note, please.
How do you think this will be received? I mean, this has a lot to do not even with just how good the film is.
It doesn't.
Obviously that's going to be a factor. Word of mouth is a big factor around the holidays, but there's a lot of other issues coming up. And who wants to highlight that? I think one of you could probably highlight it better than I could. As far as like what lineup is it facing? First of all,
That would be Fantasia Kitty who can do that.
Okay. All right. Well, this is obviously not a complete list because there's a lot of movies coming out during the Christmas season, but the ones that I've looked through that look like they would be the most competitive with The Voyage of Dawn Treader would be obviously Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1 is coming out 3 weeks before The Voyage of Dawn Treader. And that's the one that's probably getting the most hype on the various forums right now. And then Disney's big animated film, Rapunzel, in 3D, is coming out for Thanksgiving. And then there's really nothing the week right now, at least. I mean, obviously, something could jump in there still, but there's nothing right now coming out the weekend before The Voyage of Dawn Treader that's big. But then after The Voyage of Dawn Treader, the week after is Tron Legacy, which is a sequel to the really huge movie from, I can't remember if it's the 70s or 80s, but that's got a pretty big following. And then after that is a couple of little movies, Gulliver's Travels and The Green Hornet. So...
Wait, when does Green Hornet come out? Because that's not going to be a little film, is it?
No. Okay, sorry. I should say little films relative to the holiday season. None of these are going to be little.
Right. Oh, okay.
But Green Hornet comes out 2 weeks after The Voyage of Dawn Treader.
Yeah.
I think the worst thing, our worst fear was, hi, I'm Peter Jackson, and we've decided to release The Hobbit in December 2010.
No!
Don't do that!
But, you know, I mean, Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe was released 3 weeks after Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, and it was released less than a week before King Kong came out. And obviously, Wardrobe was a huge success. And yeah. I see a lot in the forums, like, oh, no, there's so much competition, Don Cherry doesn't stand a chance. And I think that, like Gresham says in this recent interview, you know, it's so much of it is about marketing, and a lot of us feel like, yeah, you know, Prince Caspian wasn't marketed that well, and so we're just gonna have to see how are people gonna react to seeing, you know, seeing trailers, for example, and wow, it looks totally different from Wardrobe and Caspian.
Yeah, and again, we haven't really seen any marketing yet. So yeah.
Well, unless you want to count the free publicity from the Gulf Coast and the ship being built out there in the public eye.
That's marketing to Narnia fans, and really, I mean,
yeah,
and Australians.
That's true, I guess. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm really curious as to what kind of take they're going to, how they're going to approach the marketing. Are they going to go with this is similar, or because with the second one, we didn't even really get a plot outline in the trailers, and it was just I advertised it as a summer action flick. I think that's going to be a big factor, but I do agree the lineup, is much better. I did not want this competing against Iron Man 2.
Yeah.
don't do this again.
Yeah. Or the Little Hobbit film, like Panji Kitty said. Little film.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying. I mean, I wonder if they're kind of want to basically get the message out there that, hey, this is going to be a lot more like Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Thinking that that's the direction they're going to go. Maybe we won't see more. Maybe we'll see more of the Pevensies and Caspian in the marketing.
Maybe, yeah. How do you both think, as far as grossing? I know it's too early to tell. I know, but we're Narnia Wibbers, okay? If you were to kind of guess, do you think it'll make the grossing will be somewhere between Prince Caspian and Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe? Fantasia Kitty, what do you think?
That's definitely what I think. I think it'll definitely fall between the two movies. I would be very surprised if it made more than The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe for the simple reason that everybody knows the first Narnia book, but not as many people have read the rest of them. For the people who have read the rest of them, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader is the favorite. So I definitely think it will do better than Prince Caspian. I don't think it will do quite as well as The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe did, but I would love to be proven wrong on that point.
Yeah, I guess I feel pretty similar. I'm just not sure how much of a bad taste has Prince Caspian left in the mouth of the public is kind of what I'm not sure.
Or has the taste died off?
Yeah,
I think is another.
I think that's the big thing with Don. There's so many questions. You know, especially when you look at the new director, the new studio, completely different story. Is that going to be a good thing or a bad thing? And obviously, a lot of it's about marketing. As far as competition, this looks like it has the best competition. Best meaning like, you know, least intimidating.
less is more.
Right, less is more. Exactly. It looks like it's not as scary. As because we were all pretty scared about King Kong releasing after Wardrobe, and Wardrobe won that battle very convincingly, and so with this one, like as far as competition, you have to feel better than the first two films, and obviously a lot of it will come down to marketing. But you know, obviously, like you said, it's way too early to say. We got to make a prediction. I definitely think it'll gross more than Prince Caspian, probably be a little more well liked than Prince Caspian, and. I guess I don't want to use – it's way too early even for Narnia Webbers to start predicting numbers. But yeah, I'm going to say somewhere between – so therefore somewhere between 450 million and 750 million, somewhere in there.
Well, I mean if I were to just guess, I'm guessing this will have better marketing. I'm just going to guess the marketing here will be more effective than it was for Prince Caspian. I'm also guessing that it, just because of the better placement, I think those two factors alone, I'm willing to bet – yes, it will be better. And I think also the timing, I think a lot of people went into Prince Caspian expecting an action flick, and they were disappointed. And I think because of that,
I think they got an action flick. It just, I don't know. It's one thing, it was between Iron Man and Indiana Jones, and it wasn't that kind of action flick, you know?
Right. Well, it wasn't a typical summer action flick. And right. I think that as far as like the timing of the holiday movie with Don Treader, I think it works much, much better as opposed to here's, oh, you miss Pirates of the Caribbean. Well, watch Pirates of Don Treader.
That's right. But I think one of the most interesting things about the marketing we have to look for is, you know, Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, you had Motive Entertainment doing that whole thing with going from church to church and that whole passion style marketing. Right. You had Walden Media, we're giving out, you know, resources and posters and all this stuff. And we saw pretty much, yeah, none of that at all in Prince Caspian. So I'll be most interested as far as the marketing to see if we see. I think that was one of the things that made Wardrobe so successful. It was so well done. And I'll be most interested to see if we see a return to that kind of marketing.
Agreed, yeah.
Just out of curiosity, have either of you two ever followed a Fox film before? Because I never have, except maybe Star Wars, but that's on a whole other level of marketing.
Nothing comes to mind. Like, I mean, nothing. Obviously, I've never followed any film series as much as I followed Narnia. And so, like, you know, there are like superhero films and stuff that I'm kind of a fan of, but nothing I follow really closely.
Watchmen.
that was Warner Brothers, and that's not a superhero.
True, but you
film.
Did follow Watchmen.
It's not a superhero film. That's a science fiction film about superheroes.
Thank you. Of course. Okay. I don't know how Fox will do it. I know some friends are kind of pessimistic. They hate Fox, but I don't hate Fox. I hate the Fox Sci-Fi that canceled all my favorite shows. But other than that,
Firefly.
Firefly, Terminator. They canceled a bunch of shows. Anyway, no, I'm not really sure. I'll just have to learn on this film, I guess. Yeah. Fox, here's your chance to prove it.
So. Yeah, that's one of the big questions is how much is Fox's involvement going to change? I mean, like, Wardrobe had that amazing force of Disney behind it, and this is going to be the first. Like, how is the franchise going to fare without Disney as far as, you know, distribution and marketing and all that? But also, how much say do they have in the content of the films themselves? I know that if you're a superhero fan of superhero films, as I am, like if you go into a superhero forum, they hate Fox. Like, oh, Fox, they ruin everything. They have the most worst adaptations. And so I'm trying not to completely be totally pessimistic of Fox's for that. But I don't know. It really all depends on like how much say do they have in the actual films themselves. And I don't think we're completely sure right now.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to come out in the public.
Yeah, I mean, we would hope that it'd be similar to Wardrobe, where I'm not sure if this is totally true, but we were always told that Disney didn't have any artistic say whatsoever. I think, you know, I mean, they may not have had say on, like, power on paper, but they still had input. And obviously, Walden would be foolish to completely ignore the comments from his distributor. So, yeah, it's all going to be. I don't know. I think the big thing, this is the thing I say in the article. Don Treader, the anticipation so far has been defined by questions. There's so many questions that we just don't know the answer to, especially with a new studio and a new director, you know, that we just don't know. Left with a lot of questions.
Because we could look at Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe and say, okay, we've seen Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. What do we expect for Prince Caspian? But here we've seen Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe and Prince Caspian. What can we expect from Voyage of the Dawn Treader with a new director, new scriptwriters, and new studio?
Prince Caspian not doing very well, they'll probably want to shake some stuff up, or maybe they won't. Maybe they'll want to do more of the same. You know, there's just a lot of big unanswered questions right now.
Yeah.
So so there you have it, folks. With 1 year to go,
that's our those clue. Are our thoughts, that's and we'd love to hear your thoughts on the forum. Right. If you want to go down there and post your comments, we'll also go ahead and check out the other comments from other mods on the corresponding article, and my goodness, 1 year away.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
1 year. And then just after that, hopefully the anticipation for, well, I guess it'll be a week after, really a year and a week from now, after the box office results come in, then sort of hopefully the anticipation for the Silver Chair can start.
I wish we could get a trailer with a teaser with something like Avatar. That would be That would be so cool.
Well, I don't think it's too early for a trailer, but I think, yeah, sometime probably –
don't jinx it.
You know, hopefully before Christmas, but sometime pretty soon we should get some kind of – I don't know if it'll be like a behind-the-scenes video or a poster or what, but hopefully something cool.
Yeah. Well, 1 year away.
Let's
can't
do
believe it.
Dude, like, shooting's over. This is the fun part, you know. This is when we begins.
This is where it gets really fun. I'm kind of
enjoying my sort of this stage of ignorance where we just have no idea what's gonna happen, for good or for ill.
Ignorance is bliss until you find out the truth.
That's right. Right now it's bliss. But we'll find out in a year.
In 1 year, Glum Puddle, Fantasia Kitty, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
This was fun.
Cool.
All right.
Let's go. One more year.